Council to order at 6 p.m. Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. As is our custom, we will have a moment of silence and pledge of allegiance led by Councilperson Bowen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Thank you.
Sorry, just playing in my chair.
Councilperson Azar.
Present.
Councilperson Boland.
Present.
Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson DeBond.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Present.
Councilperson Loudermilk.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
All are present.
Before we begin 30 minutes of public comment, I would like to ask Councilperson Crossan if she would join me right here. In appreciation of the work you did last year as president, we would like to present you with this to put on your desk or on your wall and give our heartfelt thanks for a job well done.
Thank you very much.
And I would also like to officially, during this meeting, welcome our two newest council members, Councilperson Bolden and Councilperson Loudermilk. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you.
We do have we reserve 30 minutes of time for public comment on items that are not on the agenda. We do ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. So if there's anyone from the public that would like to make a comment, please feel free to state your name and address and your comments. Welcome, Mr. Hyde. Before you begin, I would like to say that I appreciate the fact that you come to all our meetings and that you're one of the few that show a lot of interest in our council proceedings. I would like to ask that you please keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less.
Today I am going to keep it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Because basically, I'm not going to complain about anything. Instead, I'm going to warn you about something. This is January 2nd, 2020. This, whether you know it or not, is going to be one of the busiest, most incredible years in your entire lives. I know you don't believe me, but wait and see if I'm not right. Now, as far as when I say busiest, it also means for the City Council. You guys have got big things coming, and I don't think you know about all of them. First of all, this convention center you're going to build, you guys are now going to spend the entire year getting that place built. Not necessarily full, finished, but built. You're going to have to decide where it's going to be built, what the blueprints look like, who's going to be building it, all that stuff. And all that stuff's going to depend upon your votes, like it or not. Fact. Your decisions are going to have, you're going to have to do work of deciding what's good and what's bad. Because it's $50 million of taxpayer money you're responsible for. Second of all, like it or not, you're going to have to also find a place to build the new jail, the city council. Not the city council, I'm sorry, my age. The police station. The police station is going to have to be, again, the same thing. You have to decide where you're going to build it. You have to decide who the contractor is going to be to build it, how much it's going to cost, and what, most important of all, and I know you don't think this is true, but I'm telling you, it's going to come down to being very true, what it looks like. All that's a must. It's going to happen, like it or not. I don't predict this. I know it's going to happen. And it's going to happen this year. Now, again, like the other thing, it's not going to be finished this year. It's just going to be started. Now, here's the point, the problem you've made last year that's coming forward this year. You decided to build convention center. Yeah, convention center. The problem you allowed to happen is where you decided to have the convention center. And again, on one vote, don't count, don't care. However, you should have thought of this before you agreed to the way it's going to be built. You've allowed the main state office buildings and county office buildings and the unemployment office all in the same building. That is going to be closed down and remodeled and turned into a hotel. Well, every one of those places now, this year, is going to be moving somewhere else. Now, I believe I can think of at least three buildings that's going to have to be remodeled to accommodate at least two of them. One of them I can think of, if the state is smart, will build new. So that's a third building. Now, mind you, that, again, if they're going to build new, they still got to go somewhere this year until the new building is built. And that would be the unemployment office. Now, it's possible that they, the state being behind them, could move into a couple of buildings that right now will stand empty. One stands empty now that I believe that the welfare will take over. There'll be a big argument about that. Again, you guys are all going to be involved in it. The other building, I don't think it's big enough, nor do they have enough parking space for the unemployment office to go in there and remodel it. So that's what I'm saying. I believe when it's all said and done, the unemployment office is going to build a new building. I hope it's going to be built on 4th Street. There's big land there. They got plenty of room. Buy it, build it, get it over with. That's all I want to say right now.
Thank you, Mr.
Good luck.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to anything that's not on the agenda? Please state your name and address, please.
My name is Jacob Butler. The address is 310 South 16th Street. I'm here today to talk about the chicken ordinance. First, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody. As to the chicken ordinance, I like everything that you guys agreed to on it, except for one line, and that would be Section 672.1E, which is no license shall be issued to an address comprising less than 4,800 square feet. I don't know how you all came up with that number, but after talking with the Harrison Township assessor, the plat mapping, that excludes about 50 to 70% of the population of the city. I don't think that that is even a needed requirement, seeing as how the section about the size of the chicken coop and run should be a minimum of 6 feet or 6 square feet per chicken, which is only 48 square feet. So I don't understand why it is that we put a 4,800 square foot requirement on the size of a address when it excludes the vast majority of the city. Another point of that is I do own two properties that are the average city size is 125 by 37 feet, which comes out to 4,625 square feet. By the way this is written, I have to combine my two properties into one address to be allowed to have chickens. And I don't see why this line is in here for any other reason other than to exclude people. So that's really the only comment I have on that. I'd like to see that addressed at some point.
Thank you. Thanks for your comments. Are there any other comments or questions from the public? Okay. If not, are there any corrections to the journal?
There are none.
Communications from the mayor?
I did not receive any.
Okay. Reports from city officials. At our earlier meeting, I had said that I was going to appoint Councilperson Boland to area plan. She has accepted. However, I have just been informed that we need to do that by a vote of the council. So if someone would like to nominate her and then second Councilperson Olive.
Mr. President, I motion that we appoint Tammy Boland to the area planning board.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been moved by Councilperson Aller, seconded by Councilperson Nation, that we appoint Councilperson Boland to the area plan. Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now you're official. All right. Reports from Board of Public Works and Safety?
I did not receive any.
From standing committees?
I did not receive any.
Non-standing committees?
I did not receive any.
Any items previously tabled?
There are none.
Tax abatements for confirmation?
There are none.
Items on second reading?
There are none.
Items on first reading?
We have a winner. Special Ordinance 1, 2020, authorizing issuance of economic development solid waste facility revenue bonds, and you must vote to take action on this item.
Thank you. Is anyone here to speak on this ordinance?
Jeff Lynn, Lynn Law Firm. You heard about this last month, although it wasn't on the agenda for a vote. It relates to a second facility for Purelex. I'd have Kurt Grable, Barnes and Thornburg Bond Counsel, go over it briefly for you.
Good evening. Happy New Year. Thank you for taking this under consideration this evening. You're going to get some background on this project. You probably know a lot about it. We talked a bit about it at the December 12th meeting. There were bonds issued for this project back in 2017, the first project, in an amount slightly more than $30 million. That plant is now operational, and Purelex wants to build a second plant at the same site. The description of that project, this new project, is in the second preamble of the ordinance that is before you. In part, it is a solid waste disposal facility that generally takes used tires and extracts carbon black from it, and in so doing disposes of used tires. Back in June of 2019, the council and the EDC approved bonds in an amount not to exceed $50 million for this second project. Since then, Purelex has determined that the cost of the plant is $20 million more than estimated. Thus, it is back here in front of you to request that the principal amount of the bonds be increased to an amount not to exceed $70 million. On December 12th, of this past month, the EDC held a public hearing on the project after a publication of a notice of the hearing in the Tribune Star, and then adopted Resolution Number 2, 2019, approving the project and authorizing the issuance of the bonds. On December 13th, the EDC report regarding the project was sent to the Vigo County Area Plan Commission. That is described in the preamble to this ordinance. Thus, all the conditions for you to consider and to adopt this ordinance have been met. You'll see in the last whereas clause, on page 2 at least of my version, there are some documents called the financing agreements. They consist of a loan agreement to be entered into between the city and Purelex, an indenture of trust to be entered into between the city and a bond trustee, the bonds, and then this bond ordinance. In section 1, you make findings and you describe the public benefits of this project, and that meets the requirements of the Economic Development Commission Act. In section 2, you're approving the financing in the form that was approved by the Economic Development Commission. In Section 3, you're authorizing the issuance of the bonds. Section 4 sets forth the terms of the bonds, two of which are that the final maturity of date of the bonds is not later than December 31, 2049, and the maximum interest rate on the bonds is not to exceed 16% per annum. Now, one of the most important sections for you in this bond ordinance is in Section 4B, and it reads, "The bonds and the interest thereon do not and shall never constitute an indebtedness of or a charge against the general credit or taxing power of the city, but shall be special and limited obligations of the city, payable solely from revenues and other amounts derived from the financing agreements." Section 5 describes how these bonds are going to be sold. It'll be either pursuant to a bond purchase agreement or a placement agreement to be entered into with an underwriter. Section 6 provides that the offering circular or offering memorandum will be the document by which it will be offered to investors. Section 7 authorizes the mayor and the clerk to execute the financing agreements. Section 8 authorizes changes in the financing agreements to be approved by the mayor. Section 9 is sort of a catch-all provision which authorizes the mayor to take whatever actions are necessary to effectuate this bond ordinance. Section 10 provides that this ordinance and these financing agreements is a contract between the bondholders and the city. Section 11 provides that prior bond ordinance is repealed, except with respect to one provision, and that has to do with a federal tax requirement having to do with the authorization to use proceeds of the bonds to reimburse expenditures made by Pirelix prior to the issuance of the bonds. We want to preserve that and not have that repealed for the benefit of Pirelix. Section 12 provides that the effective date will be in accordance with law once it is adopted. And then Section 13 says that in accordance with the Indiana Code, there are two copies of the financing agreements on file with the city and available for public inspection. I will now turn this over to Tom, and he can describe to you the project.
Council President, members of the Council, Thomas Redd, Pirelix USA, thanks for having me, and it's nice to see everyone again. You heard about this project last time we met, so this is an expansion of our current plant. We will be recycling approximately 4 million of Illinois and Indiana scrap tires at this new plant, same thing as we're doing at our current plant. Our current plant is currently operating. I've got Frieda Haviland here with me. She's going to talk a little bit about the hiring that we've been doing. And our plans to ramp up hiring through the end of January.
Thank you, Tom, and good evening, everyone. As of the end of December, we are at 39 full-time employees, so just a little bit over what we talked about last time we were here. During January, we'll be onboarding new hires each week to reach a total of 60 employees. I've been very busy, as you can imagine. We recently did some postings for our open positions and received over 110 responses. So people are very interested in Pirelix and what the company is doing in our community. We have been fortunate to be able to use Vigo County as our primary source of employees. We are drawing candidates in from about a 4-county radius of Terre Haute, but the majority of our employees are Vigo County residents. We are very fortunate also to be picking up some of the displaced workers that I mentioned last month. We have some additional folks who have been downsized out of Emory Winslow Scale and also Columbian Home Products that we are making offers to. And we're also interviewing for some professional positions. So along with our manufacturing needs, we will be hiring some engineering and accounting staff as well as a quality manager. So we're looking for all resources available from within Vigo County and really within about an hour radius of Terre Haute. So we're very excited. Again, our average wages right now are around $19 an hour. And with benefits, that's about $32.50 an hour. So we feel these are very good opportunities for employees who are looking for new opportunities. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions or comments from the public?
Yes, I have a question. And again, I want to make sure that I make this clear. I'm for this project. I'm always for recycling. However, I heard the whole thing, all the spill, but nobody said the most simplest thing of all. And I'm a salesman, so I really listen for this all the time. Again, exactly what are you getting out of the tires? You call it something. I have no idea what it means. And what do you use it for? Could you please tell me that?
Thomas Redd from Pirelix, thank you for the question. So our main product is a substance called carbon black, which is a gritty black powder that is used mostly in the manufacturing of tires, but it's also used in the manufacturing of black plastic. So one of the reasons we're in Terre Haute is that there are several customers here that use carbon black as a raw material. Thank you.
Thank you for addressing his question. Are there any questions or comments from the public? Okay, if not, public comment is closed. Any questions or comments from the council?
Mr. President.
Councilperson Nation.
Maybe Frieda is the best person to answer this. I'm not sure. Are you at 100%? Is the plant open and operating at 100% yet, or are you waiting until you get your full complement of people?
So we are operating. We're not at 100% yet. Part of that is because we're staffing up now.
Right.
And also we just started the plant in December, so it's at the ramp-up phase. And Frieda can mention the employment levels where we are.
And how many, what date did you start actually operating the plant, roughly?
In December.
Like early December?
Yeah, early December.
Okay, that's right. Thanks. Mr. President, if there's no further discussion, I move to take action on Special Ordinance Number 1, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Crossan, that we take action on Special Ordinance 20. There are no further questions. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. President.
Councilperson Nation.
I move for approval of Special Ordinance Number 1, 2020.
Second.
Been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Al Aller, that we take or that we approve Special Ordinance 1, 2020. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. President.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to do a reminder that we do not have any business filed for next week's meeting.
Okay. If there are no objections, it looks like we do not have anything on the agenda at the next meeting in January. So it looks like our next meeting will be February, whatever the first Thursday is in February.
Yes.
Okay. As long as there are no objections, we will schedule it for February 6th.
Yep.
Okay. At this time, I will have our official adjourner.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Been moved by Councilperson Nation, seconded by Councilperson Crossan, that we adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting.